Good morning. Warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to all men. Some of you are here, I believe, because your wife pushed you out of the door. She wants you to be a man of God, to care for her and the family. Thank God for your wives. But for others, you may be here because you have a desire to come. And thank God for your wives who have been praying for such a desire to be found in your heart. And now you are here. And if you are here as a single man called to be married, then your future wife, thank you for preparing yourself to become a man of God, to take care of your future family. But if you are here as a single man called to be single, then every woman and child in the church, thank God for you to become a man of God, to look after God's family. But whatever the reason, we know that God is the one who has called us to be men of God. Because men of God are not by our own doing, nor our own choice. We cannot take certain steps and fulfill certain formulas and conditions, and then suddenly, voila, we become a man of God after a few years. Every Christian man is a man of God. It is the Lord's doing. You cannot be a man of God without first becoming a Christian, a child of God. And the reason why God has left you behind and has given to you and entrusted to you many responsibilities. These responsibilities involve the lives of everyone that you impact. That's why it is so important for us to acknowledge very consciously that we are men of God. Not to do so is to abdicate a position that God has given to you. It is not your choice, it is God's choice. God saved you, left you behind to be men of God to everyone in your life. First, of course, for Jesus' sake. He needs you. Because the Lord tells us in the Gospels that as long as I am in the world, I remain the light of the world. But is he not seated at God's right hand, finished his mission and work? The world can't see him, for he is no longer around physically for them to see. But is he not in you and through you, where he has given to us the privilege and honor to carry his name? When we sin, when we live in carnality, we know that we cannot hurt or touch or tarnish the body of Christ, the person of Christ, but we can tarnish the name of Christ. And by bearing the name of Christ in a godly manner as men of God, Christ remain on this earth and continue to be the light to a world that is dying in sin. And we're not talking about the world at large in general who does not know us. It's your world. That's why first and foremost, we must be men of God and rise up. So this morning's message is the call to rise up. You're already men of God. The moment you are born again, the question is, are we standing up for God, for self, for family, friends, and even our enemies and God's enemies? Stand up and make a difference for the Lord's sake to impact the people around you for the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days. We know that our birth date is not our choice. God brought you into this world in the 20th century, and some of you in the 21st century. You can't choose the century that you are born in. And every sanctuary will have its own pitfalls, spiritual battles to fight, enemies to confront. And the Lord knows that you are His chosen ones. He did not bring you into this world during the 16th century to fight side by side with men like John Calvin and Martin Luther, or to bring you into this world at the time of the Old Testament or the New Testament. He could have. It's His sovereign will. But He has decided individually, each and every one of us, by our own past, by our own experiences, bringing us up the way we are. And then on that particular day of our salvation, He saved us and turned us from men of the world, a man of sin, to become men of God. And so now He wants you to rise up and make a difference for Jesus' sake. And so this is the passage that we are going to begin this new ministry. The final words of a man of God called Joshua. He wanted the best for God's people before the Lord took him home. We stop at verse 28 because in verse 29, the Bible describes Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. Do you know how hard it was for Joshua to earn the title, the servant of the Lord? When the Lord introduced us to this man at the start of the book of Joshua, the Lord make a difference. Moses, my servant, has been taken home to glory. Joshua, you are a servant of Moses. That's how God deliberately reminded Joshua after 40 years under the tutelage of Moses in the wilderness. You are now on your own, coming out of the shadow of your master Moses. Whatever you have learned from him, you must now turn it into reality. You are now on your own with my help, leading the people to complete the mission that your master could not do so because he sinned against me. And now finally, at the end of his entire life of ministry, his ministry was basically one dimension, very simple. Conquer and then divide. And that's it. Your job is done. Now time to come home. And then the Lord deliberately concluded by describing him, the servant of the Lord. It took him his entire lifetime to earn the title, the servant of the Lord. Now, the Lord makes no mistakes. Some of you become believers when your children are already born. Some of us are born again before we became parents. And so we have our children in our lives and we are already believers. But whatever it is, the Lord knows best. The Lord makes no mistakes. You can be men of God whether your children are already grown up before you became a believer or they are infants when you are already a believer. It makes no difference. Men of God impacting the people closest to you because the ones closest to you will be impacted the greatest. And so when you rise up, and I pray and hope that you would, please understand the first message under this main theme called to rise up, it is a personal choice. And we're going to focus on verse 14 to verse 18. And then we'll have a break, and then we will continue with message number 2, based upon the same text. The call to rise up, and the sub-theme will be a lifelong battle. But you must make your choice first. And the lifelong battle will bring us through from verse 19 to verse 28 of the same passage. So a personal choice. It can't be forced. It has to be from a willing heart. And Joshua understood that. And so he said to them, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth." Sincerity, willingness. The word sincerity literally means without any blemish. That means there's no hidden agenda. Why do you want to rise up and be men of God? To impress your wife, to impress your children? What exactly is the reason? The reason must be God. and Christ. Not even your wife and your children. Do you realize that? Because as long as it is not Christ-centered and God-centered, we are going to miss the mark. You see, if you do so for the sake of your children, your wife, what if they do not turn out godly? What if they do not turn out the way that you want according to your timetable? You will get frustrated. You will get angry and upset, and you might just simply throw in the towel. Because endurance is not something that is easy. People are saying that the world can't take it anymore with this pandemic. It's more than a year and a half long. One moment, relaxation. Next moment, tightening. Isn't that what we have just experienced? Just 2 Mondays ago, 5 persons can go out and sit down and have a meal. We've been longing for that relaxation. You just imagine so many stalls in hawker centers. They have to put X's on seats, on tables, because there were only 2 per table. And then they long for the Monday to come where they can relax and remove all the X's and put only a few X's, now enlarging from 2 per table to 5 per table. And then in less than, 8 days, back to square one because of certain events and incidents. How to live in such a world where everything is so changing? We are creatures of habit. We want stability. We want things to be constant, to give us peace of mind. And so the world is tired. They can't endure anymore. And so we see some countries, some nations in the West, they just simply could not take it. Just remove all restrictions. Just let the people take whatever personal safety measures your heart desires. It's up to you now. And so thousands upon thousands are now being affected. Doctors are being interviewed about ICU, about hospital beds, and they are swamped because they ran out of ICU beds. Endurance, we are tired, keeps on going and going. And so if you are rising up and to be a man of God for the sake of your wife and your children, you can't endure, because you know how long it takes to impact and remove the negative before the positive can come. And every step you take, every time your wife, your children, and yourself interact with the world will try its best to bombard you all over again with her philosophies and her ideas that are all carnal, and they're all designed and originated by the God of this world to neutralize your desire to rise up. And that is why Joshua understood this too in his days, because very soon he will no longer be with them. And you must understand this too. And so he urged them. He challenged them. He besought them. Fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Check your heart and your motive, why you want to rise up and be men of God. It must be for Christ's sake. The one who died for you, the one who suffered for you. And because it is for his sake, it will be an unconditional love of Christ surrender, that whether it's going to take 5 years, 10 years to see some change in your family towards spirituality, you will persevere. That's why in sincerity and in truth, God's truth has to be the Bible's truth, not just the truth in general, not focused enough. Of course, we have to be truthful in the general, generic sense. But it has to be Bible-based. If it is not Bible-based, it's not going to work. You cannot just simply have a good, sincere heart and do things wrongly. Who tried that? You know who tried that? The first sinner that was given to us, revealed to us by God, the brother of Abel, Cain. He thought that if it was good enough for Cain, it must be good enough for God. As long as I am sincere, he offered the best of the land. And he was a farmer. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That's why God rejected him and his offering. You may be sincere, but if you do it the wrong way, worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, with sincerity. In spirit means with sincerity and in truth. That's why Joshua said to them, it is important that you are sincere, but it must be in truth. Because if you do so in truth without sincerity, it becomes very legalistic. And once it becomes legalistic, it will have all the negative effect and impact. You may be right, but because it is so legalistic, it is so rigid, it will be rejected by your family and by the people around you. Because they suspect your agenda, your reason, your motive. Did he do all these things because he wants to rule and dominate us? Like a lord and servant relationship? In sincerity and in truth, you fear the Lord. And therefore, the first thing you do is you must now put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. You can't serve the Lord and hold on to other gods. And don't let your wife and your children and your job become your other gods. This phrase, which your fathers serve on the other side, basically argue for tradition. The other side of the flood is mentioned again in verse 15, but instead of Egypt, it is changed to the gods of the Amorites. And there is a reason. But look at verse 14 first. The manner of your choice, fear the Lord in sincerity and in truth, throw away the other gods. Whatever tradition, because that's what tradition is, the other side of the flood means the river Euphrates. The gods that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, especially Abraham. Isaac and Jacob were born in the land of Canaan, but Abraham came from Ur of the Chaldees. Tradition basically is what it means. And you and I know the tradition. We all, if you are a first generation believers, we have a tradition. My parents were not believers. We had a tradition. During certain times of the year, we would carry joss sticks and we would bow down to idols. Tradition. Put it away. And then put away the gods that you have learned when you were all brought up in Egypt, because they came out of Egypt 40 plus years ago. We do not know how old Joshua was when he first introduced himself, not himself, he was first introduced to us in the time of Moses. We do not know his age when he began his conquest in the year 1445 BC. It took them about 6 to 7 years to complete the conquest, and then took some time to divide the land. But we know that he died at the age of 110. And so they were all born and brought up in Egypt. And so they will understand and remember the gods of the Egyptians, their masters. And I'm sure some of them were forced to bow down to the master's gods from Egypt. And so now that you are free, you are now in your own promised land. You have a choice now. This is the manner of choice that you have to make. You are no longer under the umbrella and the tutelage of your parents, especially if you are already past 21. You have to stand up and make a choice. You should, for Jesus' sake. The manner of choice is clearly delineated here. Then you serve the Lord. Fear him, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and he will accept you, provided you put away other gods. It's not other gods and the Lord. It's either or. Don't add. The Lord and the Lord alone. Now, if you're not prepared to accept this manner of choice, then the rest cannot be accepted by the Lord. You may want to, but the Lord says, I can't accept your offer. Serving the Lord must be on his terms. You are men of God by his doing, if you are a believer. Your salvation and my salvation is entirely the Lord's work. The garment of salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ exchanged with us when he took on our garment of sin and gave to us the garment of righteousness. That garment of righteousness was entirely made, every stitch, by the work of Christ and sealed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not a mixture, partly your good works and partly Christ's righteous sacrificial good works. Not even one stitch, the entire garment. And therefore, we now are men of God, of God's doing in Christ. And this is the manner that you have to accept. It will be for your good. Joshua's final words will never, never meant to hurt any Israelite. It will be for their good. He loved them. He gave his life for them. His life was to bring them into the conquest, into the promised land. And then his duty was to divide the land and make sure that all of them will begin the nation of Israel as a godly witness. He wanted the best. He had no hidden agenda. He knew he was going to die. It was not for Joshua's glory or honor. It is entirely for the Lord. He did not say, at the end of all these things, serve Joshua. Joshua was not interested in promoting Joshua. Joshua wanted to be a nobody. And he passed the test because God called him the servant of Jehovah. He earned that. God gave that to him. You and I can call ourselves servant of Jehovah all you want. But when the Lord calls you, it's a world of difference. Others can call you, but it's nothing. You don't know my heart. You call me, this is the servant of the Lord who's going to bring us God's word. You don't know my heart. You do not know me. You know how hard it is to earn the title servant of the Lord and just simply dish it out so freely? I dare not accept that. I can't stop you from calling me that, but I dare not accept that. When I look at my own life, when I look at the way that I live and the way that I serve the Lord, you know how hard it was for Joshua to earn that title and you just simply dish it out so freely, not knowing who that person is? The Lord wants to call you my servant of the Lord. Let him. Do you not want that? That at the end of your life, just as at the end of Joshua's life, Joshua wanted every Israelite to have the Lord say these words to them, just as he heard the Lord say that to his master Moses. He longed for the Lord to address him in the same way that the Lord addressed Moses, my servant. And I hope that is your motive, the manner of your choice. Because the impact of your choice is not just on your own. You see that in verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you, it's a choice. And you find that what I have just described for you, the manner of choice, if you find this unacceptable evil, not that it is evil, but unacceptable, evil means unacceptable, I can't accept it. Then choose you this day whom you will serve, because if you don't choose to serve the Lord on his terms, you are always a servant. Don't ever forget that. Either you serve your wife, your family, yourself, or your country, or some other agenda, still serving. There are only two choices, the Lord and everyone else is not the Lord. Now, if you're a man of God, you must serve the Lord. But if you do not, know that whatever you choose, it is still a choice. It's going to be the wrong choice. And so he said to them, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side that still want to hold on to tradition, or the gods of the Amorites, that is the gods that are right here and now in your midst, in the land of Canaan. You don't want to serve the gods of the Egyptians because they were bad masters? Fine. You don't want to choose tradition? Fine. But what about the gods that are in the land of Canaan? And they're still surrounded by them because there are still pockets of Philistines, pockets of Jebusites, pockets of Hittites, pockets of Canaanites, all kinds of people still around. Joshua managed to help them conquer the bulk of the land of promise, but they were still tasked to finish off all these pockets so that they can have a land of promise that was completely void of any living Canaanite. They destroyed the places of worship of the Canaanites. They destroyed the idols of the Canaanites, but they failed to destroy every Canaanite. And they were tasked to do that as the beginning of Judges revealed to us. But sadly, we know what happened. They did not. They wanted to experience what it was like to be a master. And so they deliberately turned all these Canaanites to become their servants and their slaves. And for that disobedience, the Lord said, they are now going to remain on the thorn on your side all the days of your life as you exist in the land of promise. Only one opportunity for you to clean house. The Lord gave them his power to help them to clean house, and they refused, and that was it. What happened? They did that after the generation of Joshua was taken home to glory. So did the generation of Joshua listen? Yes. But not the children of the generation of Joshua. The impact is not just your own. Even if you are a single person called to be single, you still impact people. You still come to church. Note the impact. You choose wrongly your house. Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You are the head of your home. You are a single, you are serving the Lord in the church. There are ministries, there are children of God under your charge. Who you are, what you are, will impact and affect them. The spiritual thermometer of your home is your spiritual thermometer. If you are in the doldrums, if you are hovering between carnality and spirituality, when you're supposed to be very spiritual after so many years as a believer, it's going to be the same in your home and in the lives of your family, especially your young children who depends upon your spirituality. Of course, as they grow older into maturity, they can stand on their own two feet. And your spiritual thermometer impacting them will lessen. Your wife can be very spiritual because there are many ministries in our church for ladies. Very few for men alone. And so if your wife, she is spiritual and you are not, she can still be spiritual, but you will keep on dragging her backward, dragging her down. And she will be very, very sorrowful, very sad. But she loves you. She will still submit herself to you because she is spiritual, she is godly, she will obey and submit to you as unto the Lord. That means cheerfully, happily, with a sorrowful heart. Can't wait for the day where you will rise up and be men of God. And we pray that it will be today. That you will make a covenant with the Lord and make a difference. First, in your own life for Jesus' sake. And then for their sake as well. Because they are your responsibility, your care, your charge. As God's family entrusted to you. To bring them up, especially the children, in the fear and admonition of the Lord. So that they will become believers. And then you return them to the Lord and say, Lord, you trusted me with three children, two children, one child. And I thank God for the privilege and honor, and now I'm returning them to you as your children. Do you not want that? Do you not want that for them? Don't allow education to become the God of the Amorites, because the God of the Amorite means the God of the land that you are in. So what is the God of the land that we are in Singapore? In contrast to the God of the land in some other countries, it's different. When we were ministering to the Kenyan, some lived in the cities, some of them lived in the wilderness. They lived in Kaudang Hut, the Maasai people. They speak the Maasai language, Swahili, I think. They dressed differently. Their lifestyle was completely different. It's literally out of the world. They were nomadic. They do not have proper toilets. They move from place to place with their cattle. Whenever they stationed themselves, they would build temporary walls made of whatever they could find in the vicinity to keep themselves safe from wild animals. And then they would begin to build their mud huts, all temporary. Again, you're using the material that are available, and then they will just simply use cow dung to keep it sealed inside and outside, just like you and I would use mud. They use cow dung, soft cow dung, which is basically like mud. It is all black and pitch black. They will have their lifestyle. Their Amorite is their nation, their way of life. For us in Singapore, what are the gods of the Amorites where we are right now? You choose. Many people think that it is education. Education seemed to be the solution to every problem in Singapore, right? And so we push and push and push very hard for education. And so education becomes the most important thing in our lives and that of our children's lives, because we put it onto them. Because if it's in your life, so you're going to prepare to do anything to make sure that they are not disadvantaged as far as education is concerned. And there will be a lot of competition. You know that. So when your child goes to school in primary one, you compete nonstop all the way until basically they die. Because after education, when they look for a job, they compete again. So you want to give them a very good advantage over all the other children. So education, if it's not good enough in Singapore, then go overseas, and so you save. And that consume your energy, that consume your heart and your mind, and that becomes your motivation, the God of the Amorite. And that is your choice. And so your children will now be pushed in the direction of your choice. That's why bear in mind the impact. The impact of your choice. It's not just your own life now. You have the lives of your children being pushed in a certain direction. You push them in the wrong direction, they pay the price, and you will also pay the price, because you never stop becoming a parent. And so when they become adults, they want to marry someone that is not a believer, that is worldly and carnal. Now you have to decide, because you baptize your child as an infant, your child still think that he's a, or she is a believer. And now you are in a conundrum. Should you attend the wedding? Should you participate? You know you can't. And then your child says, well, Dad, I'm no longer a Christian. Now you can. You want that from them? You want your child to say that to you, that I'm no longer a Christian, so that you can have a clear conscience to attend an unequally yoked marriage? Which is worse? Both would be a disaster, isn't it? And it all comes down to, you did not. And there is no turning back. Your life will be filled with regret, and then now you worry, because you are running out of time. As you age, they become more and more carnal and worldly in that direction, because now they are married. They have an entire financial mountain weighing heavily on them, and they have to carry this load without Christ. And very soon, you'll be lying down in your bed saying farewell to them, just like Joshua. And what are you going to say to them? See you, my child, or goodbye forever? Your impact, bear that in mind. The impact of your choice is critical. So choose wisely. God has given to us clearly the manner of choice for godly men. But he knows, he doesn't want to force you. You are not a robot. You are made in God's image. And if you choose willingly, happily, he will help you. But if you choose the gods of the Amorites, which is our God, what is our God? Money, education, power, position, connection, whatever it is, choose. Because you have to choose, because you are born a servant and you're going to die a servant. And the Lord urges you. Bear in mind the impact of your choice. Think of your family. Think of your loved ones right now. If the Lord tarries, what do you want them to become 10 years, 20 years down the road? What do you want them to become? You and I know what happened in River Valley High. When the news came, I was stunned. I thought it was some school in some other country. How could such a thing happen in our country? A 16-year-old doing what he did. To me, it is so sad and so tragic to both families. The family who lost a child, never expecting that morning when you say goodbye and send your child to a very good school, right? It's supposed to be an elite school. That such a thing would happen. In other countries, in America, you have heard of this enough. And they may be very fearful. Mentally, they are really prepared. Such a thing are getting more and more common in other countries, but they are so far away. Children bringing guns into schools and doing terrible things to their own friends. But in Singapore, and I pray and hope that this will be the first and last of such an incident. But this is our world, isn't it? Smart children, I'm sure, because it's so difficult to get into that school. You must have very good grades to get into that school. But what is the point? Education can only solve problems that are physical. Oh, they can get good jobs by having good professions and expertise in these professional skills. They can make big bucks. But you and I know, as men of God, that you're still going to die in sin and end up in hell. So why push them in the direction of the golden calf, the God of Singapore? Education. You know the end. Men of God, your eyes have been opened. Understand the impact. Your family depends upon you as the head of the home to lead them in the right direction toward God, because you are men of God. Have you not had enough experiences in your life to remind you of that? Because verse 16 to verse 18 would be the response of the people to Joshua's words. And so they said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Why? For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up out of our fathers and our fathers out of the land of Egypt. They were thinking back of the experiences that they had with the Lord from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord. He is our God. Now you note in verse 17, the use of the conjunction and again and again. That means these people, they contemplated, they considered, they weigh all their past experiences with the Lord. The whole nation. Many of them were even born, I'm sure, in the wilderness. Especially those who are in their 20s and 30s, right? They were in the wilderness for 40 long years. I'm sure there were births. They had experiences. Did you not have experiences with the Lord? And our first experience was, in their context, from the house of bondage. For us, it was the bondage to sin. That was our house. Did the Lord not deliver you from that house, the bondage to sin? Can you not remember that experience when you first accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, when the Lord brought you into His bosom, into His loving arm, and saved you out of sin, death, and hell? Can you not recall that moment in time? Every Lord's Supper is to jog that memory. to remember that moment in time. They remember that moment in time. And then after that, subsequently, a series of other experiences after coming out of Egypt, they continue to reflect upon these experiences. And that helped them to conclude, we also serve the Lord. He is our God too, Joshua. He is our God too. Please reflect back. How long have you been a Christian? How long have you been a believer? I'm sure you must have some series of experiences from the day you were born again. The mercies and the goodness and the comfort and the assurance that God has bestowed upon you. Can you forget them? I hope not. And based upon these experiences, Joshua's generation, they concurred with them, with him, and said, we also will serve the Lord. He is our God. God forbid that we should not serve him and forsake him. After all that he has done in my life, in our lives, God forbid. It must be our response and choose him. God forbid that you should forsake him after all that he has done for you in your life. Saving you, helping you, protecting you, watching over you. And sometimes you didn't even note his existence, but he was there providentially caring for you, keeping you safe, providing for you. That was their experience. You know that the entire few chapters of Balak and Balaam, you know how Balaam was supposed to be a very true and powerful prophet, and Balak, the king of Moab, sent his entourage all the way up north to tell him to come and help me curse Israel. And then he offered him a lot of rewards. And Balaam, the false prophet, came. He pretended to be noble and holy and spiritual. I will only say what the Lord wants me to say. And so he moved from place to place, mountaintop to mountaintop, overseeing Israel below, who was completely oblivious of what was happening. That there was this spiritual battle going on where Balak wanted this prophet to curse them. But every time he opened his mouth, it turned out blessing upon blessing upon blessing. He could not. And whole of Israel, they were just simply having a good time, waiting, 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 living their own lives, about to cross the River Jordan to complete the final piece of the mission. And all this was happening behind the scene. The Lord has been watching over you. You and I are kept safe from this virus. You think it's because of all the safety measures? I'm sure those people who were afflicted at the fishmongery in Jurong, I'm sure they also wore masks and they took every precaution. These precautions, everyone knows, is never 100% safe. It minimizes the masks. Nobody dared to say 100%. If it's 100%, you probably couldn't breathe. So 95%, 94%, it will keep 94%, 95% of all the bad stuff out as you breathe. 100%, you probably suffocate. So what about this 5%? Can't it still come through and you still breathe and then you still fall sick? Sure. Safety is of the Lord. We take every precaution, but we know in our heart of hearts, safety is of the Lord, so that you will not become paranoid. You will not become fearful. One of our elders shared with us that they had a neighbor whose children usually would come to them when they see them in the lobby of the HDB flat as they are going up or down, will greet them. But now because of this pandemic, you go to church. The daughter will now be prevented from the mother to even go near the elder. Paranoid, scared. As if, wow, you go to church. So all churches with a lot of people must be terrible. So you probably also must be infected. Like in the olden days, when you have leprosy, you go to shout, leper, 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 coming, so that everybody will avoid you. Paranoid. Don't be. The Lord has always been there for you. Whether you are aware of it or not, He has kept you. You are still around on this earth by His grace and His mercies. Reflect and think back on the many, many experiences that you have with the Lord. And then I pray and hope that you will say, with Joshua's generation in response, God forbid that we should forsake Him. And just as you, Joshua, want to serve the Lord, so will we. We also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, may Thy Holy Spirit speak to our hearts this morning, for we know that we are here by Thy appointment, that You have saved us, left us behind, and gave us our families, the people in our lives. We pray, O Lord, that You will be gracious to help us to make sure, first and foremost, that we are men of God who truly know Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. For to be men of God is Your doing, not man's. Help us to rise up and stand up for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in these last days. For we know that what we decide, we will always be servants. May we choose the Lord on His terms, in sincerity and in truth. We will serve Him. For we know that there are others in our lives who depend upon our choice, especially for those who have families. They lean upon the Lord through us as heads of homes. Help us to choose wisely. Help us to remember the day of our salvation and the manifold experiences that You have given to us up to this point of our lives. And we pray that Thy Holy Spirit will help us and convict us so that we will too say with Joshua and his generation, we will also serve the Lord. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.